All right. The scripture today is from Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 25 through 34. And thank you. Thank you so much. And I will read from the New Revised Standard Version, but I also want you to hear from the Message written by Eugene Peterson. It's a unique way that he has of expressing the message in contemporary language. So we are going to hear the Word of God today and hopefully receive the Word of God and live the Word of God. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or your body about what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow throws it into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive after all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring troubles of their own. But today's trouble is enough for today.
If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes and whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than the birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. So steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get wrapped up in what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. This is the word of God, twice, for the people of God, always.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Conley. I hope that was helpful to hear kind of two different translations. There are several translations, as you know, about the Bible, and sometimes it's good just to compare some of them. This is a tremendous teaching. What strikes me as so important about this teaching is the one who gave it actually lived it. You know, you can go to Barnes & Noble's, to the self-help section, and probably find books on how to overcome worry and anxiety. And self-help books are just in fact that. You know, they're ways you can help yourself. But these words by Jesus are not only words that help us deal with worry and anxiety, but they're words that we know that Jesus himself lived out. Not once do we read in the Gospels and Jesus was worried. Yes, Jesus was angry. Jesus was upset. Jesus was troubled. Jesus was concerned, but never Jesus was anxious. Anxious is the same thing as worry. And so I want to take a look at the word anxious. Basically, it means to be torn in two. It's like your body is going in one direction, but your mind is in another direction. And it sort of renders you helpless to act, to respond to anything. You know, all of us have experienced anxiety and worry in the past. And we know what it does to us. It robs us of our joy. It renders us helpless. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about worry. We're talking about being torn in two. And so Jesus is speaking to some people, his disciples, who have just left everything they've had. And they're getting ready to follow him to Lord only knows where. And you know what? They probably had a right to wonder, you know, how will we make things work out in following Christ? Well, that was a radical call to discipleship that those disciples answered. But in a way, we all respond to the radical call of discipleship because we are to, in fact, leave our nets behind and follow Jesus, going sometimes places and doing things sometimes that we don't know anything about. And so Jesus knew he needed to address the issue of worry. And what Jesus did was a beautiful object lesson. He encouraged them to look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. It's a wonderful thought about how, you know, birds don't, well, you don't have the father bird coming back early in the morning and saying, you know, I'm tired of trying to be the early bird every day and getting the worm. So I got 12 worms today. I'm going to put some in the freezer. No, the mother bird goes, no, we don't even have a freezer, first of all, but we're okay. You're able every day to have that need met. It's amazing how comforting it is to look at nature, to look at the lilies of the field, Jesus said. You know, the lilies of the field in Jesus' day were beautiful. They were bedecked with all kinds of colors. And Jesus said, you know, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these flowers. Yet these lilies basically only lived for a day or two. They were very, very beautiful and then they died, and then they were used to help heat ovens. They were placed in the fire. And God would take all this extra care to make sure a lily was beautiful and was clothed in color. Now, how much more will he clothe us? So Jesus is telling us to look around at nature and saying, look, God cares for the birds. God clothes the lilies of the field. And how much more will he do that for us? And then, of course, Jesus also says, if you really think about it, worrying is useless. Can you add a single hour to your lifespan by worrying? Now, in the Message translation, it read, you know, can you add, you know, more inches to your height? Try that sometime. Just stand in front of the mirror and start worrying and see if you grow any. Probably not. So Jesus had several arguments against worry, but I think the greatest argument was this. And this was really the secret of how he was able to live a life that he lived. And it was this. You know, when you're striving after things and worried about all kinds of things, whether you'll have enough and You're always in a constant state of rush, and you're running around acting as if I'm going to have anything, it's going to be all up to me. And if anything's going to be get done, it's going to be all up to me. If you're anxious, if you're torn apart like that, well, that's the way the pagans are, because they don't know a good and gracious God like we know. We know a Heavenly Father, Abba Father, one who cares for nature, one who cares for us. The pagans do all of that because they don't know that they can trust God. But we do know we can trust God. And so I think that's the best argument that Jesus gives, is that we know who God is. We know God loves us, God cares for us, and God will provide for us. We can trust God. And that's why when you see Jesus, even in those moments that were most troubling, he would turn to God in prayer and say, Abba, Father, I am glad that you always hear me. He had a father to go to. Jesus faced the cross. But in the garden, he didn't say, I'm worried, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, he turned to his Abba Father again and said, you know, not my will, but your will be done. And he surrendered to the one that he knew somehow or another, against all reason, he could still trust in facing a cross and facing death even at that moment. And so he was not torn in two. And so that's why I think Jesus was able to embody this teaching. Now, he has also some suggestions for us. I won't say some suggestions. I'm saying some commands about what we can do. And it's really neat because he says, well, you know, first of all, seek God's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The pagans aren't seeking the kingdom of God. They're seeking a kingdom. It's the kingdom of self. But you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and somehow or another, when you line yourself up with that, you don't have time to worry, because you're doing something you believe in. You're doing something that you love. You're doing something for the one that you trust will take care of you. The one who calls you would not call you without qualifying you. And he qualifies you and also provides for you. And so Jesus is saying, first of all, make it your number one priority, God's business and what God wants. A way that I like to think about this is, it's impossible to think about two opposite things at the same time. You're either stop doing one and only do the other, sort of like that. And what I tell myself and what I share with others is, it's impossible to both worry and worship at the same time. It's impossible to worship, opening up our hearts, turning our thoughts towards God, surrendering our being to the one who created our being. You can't do that and at the same time go, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm anxious. When you put first God's kingdom, you're not putting first your anxious thoughts. And then Jesus said this, and this is really good wisdom. You see this a lot. And we say it a lot, and it's so simple. Jesus said, basically, live one day at a time. You know, so do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring troubles of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. You know, one day at a time. You know, I was thinking about how that's really the secret of living a good life, is being able to live each day as it comes, and to trust that God indeed will give us the grace when we need the grace. Corrie Ten Boom was a little child, and her father said, I'm going to take you on a train ride. And she'd never been on a train ride before, and so she was excited. But every morning at the breakfast table, she'd say, Dad, do you have the tickets yet? Dad, do you have the tickets yet? And he said, yes, I have the tickets. And then one day she said, I want to see the tickets. Can I hold the tickets? And he said, you know, I have the tickets. And I'll let you hold the tickets, but I want to let you know something. The only day we're going to need these tickets is the day we take the trip. And so I'm going to keep them for safekeeping. They will be there the day that you need them. And God's grace will be there the day that you need it. So, you know, I think that in our lives, everybody struggles with this thing about worry and about being anxious. And I just want to share some things that I have learned, some things that have helped me, and some things that I think would help you. As I said before, it's impossible to think about two opposing things. And, you know, Isaiah 26:3 says, "He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusts in you." I seek to meditate upon God's word. You know, all worry is ruminating, going over and over and over and over and over again on something that's causing you anxiety. Well, that's what we call meditation, ruminating. But what we need to do is change what we ruminate about, change what we meditate on, meditate upon God's word. Because again, it's impossible to hold two different things together. So I would suggest, do you have a scripture that you could turn to? That's one thing that you can do. He will keep in perfect peace, he whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. You know, some people keep a journal because when you keep a journal, you write about things that happened in your life and how God helped you get through those. And then you reread the journal and you say, this isn't the only place that I've been at this crossroads. This isn't the only place where I've struggled a little bit with worry. Now, what did I learn from that? And you see, you can go back to your journal and you can say, wow, isn't it refreshing and encouraging to see what God has done in the past, because all that God has done in the past helps me to trust him for what he will do in the future. So keeping a journal is very, very helpful. Now, I mentioned that Jesus told them to look at nature. I think nature is very healing. Periodically, I'll go over to Lake Pine and I'll park my car there and I'll go around the lake. It's 2 miles and it's beautiful. As I'm walking around there, I don't intentionally think about anything. I just allow my mind to begin resting, and it can rest as I see the birds, as I see the turtles, as I see the little pigeons, and there's something about nature and that's calming. And when I get back in my car, I still have the same issues, and I call them concerns, not worries, because I know there's something I can do about those. That's the difference between concern and worry. Concern is, being aware of some issue that you need to address and being able to do it. Worry is being torn apart about something you have no idea what to do with. So nature sometimes, getting out in nature, it's a wonderful way to deal with that. And then, of course, prayer, all kinds of prayer. You know, the Serenity Prayer is a great prayer. Some people don't know the whole prayer. They know the first part. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. But people don't know the rest of the prayer. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, accepting as he did this sinful world as it is and not as I would wish it to be, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, and that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Sometimes I'll just stop what I'm doing and I'll say that prayer. Sometimes I'll say a breath prayer. You know, based on scripture. You know the story where the disciples are all upset and they're afraid because they're in the boat and there's a storm coming along and Jesus is sleeping. They wake him up, and what does Jesus do? He calms the sea and calms the sea in the storm. So I have a breath prayer. I say, oh Lord, breathe in. Calm the sea. Breathe out. Still the storm. Calm the sea. Still the storm. So prayer is a wonderful way to do that as well. And then I want to tell you how important it is to have prayer partners, to have a small group, to have people that you can share things with, because we're not meant to do life alone, and we certainly can't become disciples by ourselves. So it's good to have a small community that's there for you. You'll get a phone call sometimes just when you need it. You know, I also share this. I don't make light of the struggles that people have, because I've had them too. And I just don't believe it's true that if you have enough faith, you'll never, ever, ever worry. I know, you know, maybe somebody can say that's true. Sometimes our troubles really get to us, and I want to share with you some other resources. There are counselors. There are doctors. Sometimes it's the chemistry of our body. Sometimes there are such things as anxiety disorder, and they need to be addressed medically, and we need counseling for that. And we need healing comes in many different ways, and we need to welcome all the many different ways that healing can come to us. And there was a time where I knew I needed that kind of help, and I got it. And that's why I can recommend it. It's okay. It's not a sign of faithlessness. It's really a sign of strength. Because when you're strong, you're able to ask for help. So, another little thing that I like to do is, you know, you'll have a thought, and you'll say, I thought I just got rid of that thought. It comes back again. Well, you know, when you go to a mall, there's an escalator. You got an escalator going up, you got an escalator coming down. Here's what I like to do. I get a little thought, and I know I don't like it, and I don't want it. So I'll wrap that little thought up in a box. I'll wrap it all up, tie it all up, put it on the escalator, and it goes up the escalator. And I say, bye-bye, no more of you. But then the other escalator, it comes back down again. You know what I do? I pick it up and I put it on the escalator. It's going up again. I keep doing that over and over and over and over again until that box just doesn't come down again. Moment by moment, give your thoughts over to God. Put the little box on the escalator that goes up. And if it comes back down again, don't be upset. Just put it back on. Now, our lead pastor, Carl Frazier, had a talk with our staff one day, and this is what it was about. We as a staff need to be very, very mindful that we're living in very tense-filled days of worry and anxiety for many different reasons. First of all, life is like that anyway. But it seems like it's just escalated through the elections, escalated through world events, escalated through everything. People are uptight. People are worried. There's all kinds of things going on. And so he said, here's what we need to be mindful of, is that people are going to be coming to church anxious, worried. And we as a staff need to be able to go to God first and say, Lord, get me in the right place so when people come to be around me, first of all, I won't let them hurt my feelings. Because more often than not, they're responding out of their own fears and worries. And second of all, that I might be of help to them. Because when we provide an atmosphere of trust and comfort, people will receive the trust and comfort. So we are more mindful than ever before that people around us are struggling. And one of the best witnesses that we have as a follower of Jesus is, yes, we got things that we could absolutely be worried about, but we choose not to. And as a result, you see, there are many fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. All these fruits. But one of them is not worry. And so when people are around us, we ought to be able to give witness to the fruits of the Spirit. And that will minister to persons, that will help them. So, you know, it's true for all of us as a church, as you're at work, as you go to school, wherever you go this week. When you begin to turn things over to God and allow Him to grant you what you need to handle life. Others will benefit from that. And the scripture, of course, that I like to use is this. Do not be anxious for your life, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The invitation today is come forward for prayer. The invitation is also this, to box up your little worry and put it on the escalator that goes up. Let us stand.